Good evening, and welcome to this semester at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We're so thankful for all of you students who have taken the time to enroll in this school of ministry, where we're not here to teach you the historical facts about the scripture, but we're literally here to introduce you to the apostolic, that is apostolic government, a heaven to earth government. All of these classes up under the tutelage and leadership of our apostle, Leroy Thompson Sr., is designed to enhance your life so that you in turn can be effective ministers of the gospel, aiding your pastors in their divine mission for the very cities that you're located in. We're always thankful for all of the instructors. We're all connected to Apostle. We function in this school of ministry as one man. I'm Dr. W. Ron Walker. I am the instructor for this particular semester on Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. So this evening, we're going to attempt to cover the preface of the introduction to Catching the Waves of Revival, in addition to chapter number one, which talks about revival, a divine attack on society. So let us begin.
Definition of revival.
The definition of revival.
The sovereign act of God.
Revival is the sovereign act of God.
In which he restores his own.
In which God restores his own.
Backsliding people.
Backsliding people.
To repentance,
faith,
and obedience.
And Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12.
Hosea the prophet
describes revival as breaking up
fallow ground
that once have been tilled.
Revival is seen as
the breaking forth of heaven's
fire on the earth.
Revival breaks the effects
and influence
of hell's fire on the earth
and revival helps to establish
God's kingdom in the earth and on the earth.
The purpose of the apostolic
is to create heaven to earth government
structure
which allows the portals of the supernatural
to be open
so that all of us apostolic believers can have access.
The only way for us to shut the gates of hell
is for us to open the gates of heaven.
Cooperation and revival.
There must be cooperation in order to trigger and to start revival.
God cannot move unless men have prepared
themselves in accordance
to God's revealed word. Revival is the cooperation. And revival is also a covenant thing.
The fire came from heaven.
After the prophet Elijah
had built an altar
according to God's holy word. 1 Kings chapter number 18,
verses 30 through 38.
The rain came after Noah had built the ark.
According to God's word.
The outpouring of the The outpouring of the Holy Spirit
came down after the apostles prepared themselves
according to the divine instruction that was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Cooperatively in the upper room.
Revival is indeed a sovereign move of God.
An intervention of God.
Revival is also depicted as a what?
Intervention.
An intervention of God in the affairs of men.
It's not something you or I plan.
Revival is not something that you or I plan.
It's something that God does.
It is something that God initiates, something that God does
by His Spirit,
by the Holy Spirit.
We can lay the foundation
for revival.
And we can prepare for revival. But it is God who has to move. We have to follow instructions.
We must follow God's divine instructions in order for us to be a trigger, a catalyst, and a carrier of God's revival.
Catching the waves of revival. It's the unfolding of what it takes. To bring revival into our cities.
And into our land.
We will study the various stages of revival.
In this class, we will study the various stages of revival.
Most people believe.
We will have to wait for revival.
Because revival is a sovereign act. And only God can determine.
When it should happen.
The fire came.
After Elijah built the altar.
In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 through 38. The rain came after Noah built the ark
according to God's divine instructions.
In Genesis chapter 6, verses 16 through 22.
And in Genesis chapter 7, verses 16 and 17.
The glory came after Moses built the tabernacle.
According to what? God's word. According to what? Divine instructions.
In Exodus chapter 40.
And verse 34.
The heavens opened after Jesus prayed.
Luke chapter 3, verse 21.
The Holy Spirit came after they had gathered together in the upper room. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit came after. The apostles laid their hands on the believers.
Acts chapter 8, verse 17.
There is something that we must do. To activate revival. In our cities and in our ministries. The stages of revival. Are unfolded in this book.
To help us to prepare our churches.
To walk into the spirit of revival. Before it breaks out. In full scale.
To know how.
And what to do is important.
to know how and to know what to do is important.
And we need to have.
And we need to have.
Prophetic insight.
Prophetic insight.
And perception.
And perception.
We in this new generation.
We that are in this new generation.
Have to know.
Have to know.
We have been given keys to the kingdom.
That we have been given keys to the kingdom.
We know about ask.
We know about ask, we know about seek, and we know about knock.
We have this knocking theology.
In this generation, we have been taught about this knocking theology, but God wants to bring us into an area of unlocking. So that's why he gave us the keys of revelation. See, keys are used to unlock and to unfold divine mysteries that are in the scripture. Keys are also used to unlock and unfold the very root cause that why people are in the conditions that they're in. So we need to have keys, specific keys, to address specific insight into people's lives. Go ahead.
We have to move from the knocking theology
to the unlocking theology.
Matthew chapter 16,
verse 19.
Stop knocking.
Stop knocking.
And start unlocking.
And start unlocking.
One believer cannot.
One believer can knock.
But it's up to God.
But it is up to God
to determine if.
To determine if.
And when he will open.
And when he will open.
The other believer. Determines it's over.
Determines that it's over.
And has the keys.
And he has the keys.
In his hands.
One believes in waiting on God.
While the other believes.
In advancing the kingdom. These apostolic teachings
and procedures
will help the church to work
out their own soul's salvation
and come into their divine inheritance.
The keys of the kingdom
are given to a matured church
and not to a novice
or to an immature church. Matter of fact, you know, you're trusted with responsibility because of maturity. You don't give a AK-47 to a teenager and expect the right results. You have to be matured to know what can happen when you place something so dangerous into the hands of a novice. Well, in the same way, we have to be matured to handle and to walk in the supernatural. Go ahead.
Not an immature one who will squander
their inheritance.
You have to be a real son.
You have to be a real daughter to carry the keys.
You cannot use the keys
as a rookie.
We can bring full-scale transformation.
We can bring and initiate full-scale transformation
on this earth
by thinking with the mind
of a strategist
and pursuing this course
with the spirit of the revivalist.
Do not let strategy
take the place of your spirit.
Take the place of our spirits.
True revival
produces specifications
for the good of man
and for the glory of God. Now we're going to move on to chapter number one, which says revival, a divine attack on society.
Chapter
The closest biblical word
to revival is reviving. From the Hebrew word,
which is derived from the Hebrew word chaya,
a preeminent root meaning,
which is a primitive root meaning,
to live.
This word is also translated
in the Strong's
as to nourish,
to preserve alive,
to quicken,
to restore,
to save alive,
and to make whole.
The first four times this word is translated
revived
in the King James Version.
It deals with four increasing levels of death.
In Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 27,
it reveals that Jacob
Flickering hope
was realized when he saw Joseph's wagon.
Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw his son Joseph's wagons come to get him and to take him out of this famine into the land of Egypt. Remember, Jacob thought that his favorite son, the son of his old age, was dead. That's what his brothers told him. And he mourned him. But thanks be to God, that flickering hope, that revival, that spirit of life entered into him when he saw the chariots that Joseph sent to get him. Go ahead.
Revival starts.
From that small hopeful conviction.
That one day we will see.
The glory and the power of a living God.
Revival breaks forth
from a hope that does not disappoint.
In Judges chapter number 15, verse 19,
it reveals to us that Samson's thirst
was quenched by the water
that came out from a supernatural source,
which caused his strength
to be returned unto him, and he was revived.
Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst. That only a supernatural source.
Can satisfy. Revival is the coming in of a new freshness.
From the supernatural provision of God. In 1 Kings chapter 17,
verse 22,
it reveals unto us that Elijah's prayers
was heard and God responded
to Elijah's voice
by reviving and restoring the child. In other words, he raised the child from the dead.
Revival starts in response
to our voice of prayer.
God moves in response to our intercession
and our praise.
Revival has a lot to do with
human responsibility.
Activating a supernatural move of God.
So in other words, it's us who trigger. It's us who becomes the catalyst to revival. Go ahead.
God cannot and will not
start a revival by himself. He chose man. We are co-laborers together with him. Go ahead.
In 2 Kings chapter 13,
verse 21,
it reveals unto us that a dead man
came to life
when his corpse touched
the bones of the prophet Elisha. Now think about that. Elisha the prophet was so anointed, and Gehazi, his servant, did not get that anointing because he violated the prophet. He went after money. He went after stuff. When the prophet commanded him not to take nor receive any money from Naaman. So instead of Gehazi reaping the benefits of the prophet Elisha's anointing, he reaped leprosy that passed upon him and all of his seed. But a man was killed in battle, and his corpse was strewn on the prophet Elisha, and that anointing raised him up from the dead. That's powerful when you think about it, because it's supernatural. The anointing always remains in the earth realm, because the anointing is not for heaven. It's to be passed on from one generation to the next. Go ahead.
Revival starts with
the principle of continuance. Revival starts when we become
fully submerged in the teaching and revelation,
in the teachings and in the revelation
of the old order, and we become baptized by their message.
And we become immersed into their message. In other words, we cannot forget about the labor of love and the groundwork and the foundation that our forefathers laid for us. That's why I have a problem when we are told in this generation to just read the New Testament. No, the scriptures teach us all things that were written aforetime, Romans 15:4, were written for our learning, that we, through patience of the scriptures, might have hope. So we have to, as a matter of fact, in studying the scripture, you will find out much of the New Testament comes from what God spoke to his people in the Old Testament. Are you listening? We also can learn that revelation supersedes testaments. So when God reveals certain aspects of himself, it is not limited to Old Testament theology. Go ahead.
We need to touch the bones
of our forefathers.
If we're going to carry on
from the old
into the new day. Revival starts
when God restores the heart of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers.
All these groups of people are listed as the recipients of revival. In the book, Reviving Revival. It is noted that there are seven outstanding revivals
in the Old Testament.
Number one, Jacob's household. Genesis chapter 35. 1-15.
Verses 1-15.
Jacob said to all of his household. And all who were gathered together with him. To get rid of all of the foreign gods. Purify yourself.
Then he went on to say, not only do I want you to get rid of, notice he say you get rid of them. God don't get rid of idols. You listening? We don't return to God from idols. You listening? We return from idols to who? God. Are you listening? We have to get rid of it. Then next step is, Jacob say, I need all of y'all to purify yourselves. God is not responsible. Are you listening? For purifying us. You listening? Yes, we are sanctified, cleansed, washed in his blood. But it is up to us to do what? To maintain. You listening? Now you are clean through the word which I have what? spoken to you, St. John 15:3. But after the word cleans you, you listening? Remember, revival is based upon the principle of continuance. So we must continue in the word in order to have a constant cleansing and washing. Go ahead.
Purify yourselves.
And change your clothes.
Then come and let us go.
To Bethel.
Where I will build an altar to God. They gave Jacob.
All the foreign gods.
They had. And all the rings in their ears.
And all of the rings which was in their ears.
And Jacob buried them.
Buried them. You see, that earring means you're a slave. A slave to what? This world. That earring also symbolizes you got your ear to the earth realm. You hearing from another source. You listening? The strongest voice in all of our lives must be God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit who communicates to us that which the Father and the Son speaks. The Holy Spirit will never speak of himself, but he only speaks what he hears. Are you listening? That's St. John chapter 16. You read verses 1 through 15. Go ahead.
The next statement. Says the Lord responded immediately. To their service of rededication.
The threat of an enemy.
Invasion.
Immediately ended. Number two.
King Asa.
Second Chronicles chapter number 14 and 15.
Verse 2.
Second Chronicles chapters 23 and 24.
Revival came to Israel. Because they had been without the true God. Or a teaching priest. Or they didn't have any
divine instruction.
When Asa heard the word of Azara.
The priest Asa.
Took courage.
And renovated the altar.
Revival came.
The people rejoiced.
And the Lord gave them rest on every side.
Number three. King Jehoiada.
Second Kings. 11 and 12 chapters.
Chapters 11 and 12.
Second Chronicles. Chapters 23 and 24. Revival came when Jehoiada. The priest gave instructions.
Then all the people of the land.
Went down to the temple.
Baal.
And tore it down.
They killed the wicked king's mother.
Jehoash.
Replaced the wicked kings.
On the royal throne. And all the people rejoiced. And revival came in the land.
And the city was calm.
Number four. King Hezekiah.
Second Kings.
Chapter 18. Verse 4 through 7.
Second Chronicles.
29 chapters.
Chapter number 29.
Verse 36.
Revival under the tutelage of King Hezekiah.
Is one of the most sudden. Of those recorded in scripture.
Of those revivals that are recorded in history.
Because it happened so suddenly
and it happened so quickly.
He began a work of restoration.
King Hezekiah began a work of restoration.
At the beginning of his reign. Within a couple of months. The whole land was swept. With a wave of spiritual enthusiasm.
The marks of King Hezekiah's revival
were consecration,
a
recommitment
to the covenant,
purification of the temple,
restoration of worship,
and sacrifices and singing
were all marks of his revival.
Number five.
King Josiah.
Second Kings. 22 and 23rd chapter.
2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23.
Second Chronicles.
Chapter 34.
And 35. Two revivals after the exile.
These were the two revivals after the exile.
Josiah. Was the godly son of the evil.
Manchek.
Who led Israel astray. The people did not have a clue. Of what was required of them. A teenager.
Cain.
Josiah.
Began to seek God.
And he purged the land from all idols. While repairing the temple, the book of the law was found and heard, and he heard it.
Please read it again. While repainting the temple,
the book of the law was found and he heard it.
The people recommitted themselves
to the covenant
and expressed this in a massive Passover festival.
Number six.
Under Zerubbabel.
Ezra. The 5th and 6th chapter.
Ezra, the 5th and the 6th chapters.
Hezekiah.
And Zechariah.
Prophesied to the people. And the people returned back to their God.
For 7 days they celebrated.
With joy.
The festival of unleavened bread.
Revival had come.
Number seven.
Under Nehemiah.
Time.
Nehemiah chapter 19.
Take your time, son.
Nehemiah chapter 19. And chapter 12. The 44 through the 47 verses. The people fasted and repented.
For what they had done. That should be Nehemiah chapter number 9. Go ahead. Read.
The choir sang.
And they offered great sacrifice.
It was heard all over the land. Revival had come. Also in the book,
Reviving Revival,
it summarizes nine outstanding characteristics
of the major Old Testament revivals.
Number one.
Revival occurred in a day of deep moral darkness. Sound like today to you? Go ahead.
And national depression.
Sound like this day to you? Go ahead.
Number two.
It
began in the heart of one consecrated servant.
Revival always begins in the heart of one consecrated servant.
Of God who became the energizing power. Behind the revival.
And catalyst that is behind the revival.
God uses that vessel
to quicken and to lead the nation
back to faith
and obedience to him. See, faith is no good without what? Obedience. Go ahead.
Number three. Each revival rested on the word of God.
On the word of God.
And most were a result.
And most of the revivals were a result
of preaching and proclaiming.
Of preaching and proclaiming
God's law and prophecy.
God's law and prophecy
with power.
With power.
Number four.
All
resulted in a return.
All those revivals resulted in a return.
To the true worship of Jehovah,
the living God.
Number five.
Each revival witnessed
the destruction of high places.
Idols and false religions.
And false gods.
Number six.
In each revival, there was a recorded separation
from sin,
complete cleansing,
holiness and purity.
Number seven.
In every revival,
they exalted in the sacrifice of blood. Number eight. All recorded revivals. Shows a restoration of great joy.
And gladness.
Number nine. Each revival. Was followed by a period of great national prosperity. Revival means to renew.
To reawaken.
To reinvigorate. To restore the church. To wholeness.
And joy.
In the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Ghost.
Revival is God revealing himself.
To
men.
In awesome holiness.
And irresistible power.
True revival.
Are marked by powerful
and often widespread outpourings
of the Holy Ghost.
Be sure and read those chapters, the introduction and chapter one. I look forward to getting deeper into this class. Enjoy a great evening. See you next time.